second week of Advent, we have this great figure in John the Baptist. Just invite you to try, as hard as it is to, you know, take what we know of our faith, of Christianity and whatnot, and just kind of push it aside for a minute and try to hear the readings as if you've never heard them before. Let the readings speak for themselves. You know, sometimes we automatically go into this autopilot with different things in our lives. And we can finish a story, if you will, by different triggers. So, you know, to a Catholic population, you would say, oh, the priest was wearing purple today. And immediately in their mind, they finish the story. Oh, it's Advent, or oh, it's Lent. You don't need someone to tell you that as a Catholic, but we just know that. And so different words would trigger stories in your own mind that you can finish. You could sit down again with a Catholic person on a Friday and say, you know, take the chicken leg out of your mouth. And they would automatically know, oh, right, it's Friday. We should be eating lobster. So too with us in the scripture readings. We hear the beginning of a story and we automatically form a conclusion or whatever in our mind. Just listen to it as if you've never heard it before. Take the filter out. This is an amazing situation. John the Baptist shows up at the Jordan. Now, the Jordan is not just, you know, he had nowhere else to go and pitch his tent to proclaim his message. This was intentional. He purposely picked this point to do what he's doing. The Jordan is a place of change. It's a place where God comes and makes a change. So you might remember the Naaman the Syrian. Remember he's Syrian, first of all, so he's not part of the chosen people. Remember he had leprosy, and the prophet came to him and said, dip 7 times in the Jordan, and you'll be healed. And he was. There was an encounter. God made his presence known there. Think of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets. Jordan was very important for them in the transferring of power from the master to his apprentice when he was ready to leave in the chariot of fire. Think of the Jordan when the Israelites in the Exodus came out. They went through the Red Sea, and then they crossed over the Jordan to get to the Promised Land. The Jordan is an intentional place for John the Baptist. So too are his clothing. You might think faux pas. The guy doesn't know how to dress himself or he's crazy. Not so. He is dressed as a prophet. He's wearing almost exactly the same thing that Elijah wore. And if you remember, Jesus later will say to his people, if you will accept it, he, John the Baptist, is Elijah, because Elijah is supposed to come before the promise was fulfilled. And so here in this person of John the Baptist, it all comes together. And the first audience would have known all that I just told you. It would come back immediately, just like when you say the priest was wearing purple. Oh, it's Christmas. I bet in your homes it already is, isn't it? No preparation. We go right to the event. Now, let's look at John the Baptist and his proclamation. What is it? What is his purpose? What is he doing? He's preparing a way for God. Now, I don't know how you prepare a way for God, but he has something to teach us. We have so domesticated God in our culture, which is a very dangerous thing. God is all powerful. God is almighty. The first reading said, fear of the Lord shall be his strength. There's something about having a holy fear of the Lord, which perhaps we have lost in our generation. And John teaches us, like the seraphim and the cherubim, that if we approach God, it should be on our knees with our heads down and our eyes sheltered, lest his glory burn our retinas out. We've lost this sense of the awesomeness of God, and it's a dangerous thing. John's food shows us he understands his role. It's a penitential role. It's preparation. And that's how we prepare. We know, as Catholics again, we should be fasting an hour before we receive Holy Communion. Not because we're against food, but so it heightens our awareness of what we're doing. We're preparing to encounter Almighty God. Now, some of us in our current culture think that we're quite something, much like the Sadducees and Pharisees. And John slaps them right down because John's a hater. You brood of vipers. You brood of... fashionable name. Isn't that some welcoming invitation to you? You brood of vipers. Who do you think you are? John does not shrink from his duty. He is so convinced at what is about to take place. And it's not simply of a temporal manner. This is not about this life. John realizes what's at stake. Eternity. And John, being a good practicing Jew, would have believed in an afterlife of punishment. As he says, the chaff, and he's not talking about working on a farm and taking care of hay and straw. He's talking about people who don't fear God. Chaff. And he's talking about people who are not producing fruit, who say one thing but do another. And he reminds them that the axe is at the foot of the tree, ready to chop it down. If we're not bearing fruit, he says, God's going to take care of it. It's not enough for you and I just to simply say we believe. Our belief has to show itself in practice. Just like it's not enough even on our end of the reception of God's gift. God doesn't just say, I love you. He loves us in a very concrete fashion. His love takes flesh, becomes a human being, and delivers us. So too with our lives. It's not just enough for us to say something. We have to show it. John shows us that not only fear of the Lord is important, but our sense of humility and making sure that we are keeping humble. We have nothing before the face of God. Our offering prayer in a moment, as I pray over the bread and wine, will say, we have no merits except your mercy. And yet, we still seem to think that we have a right before God to make a demand on him when it comes to the mysteries of our faith. We'll make statements like, do you know who I am? John would say, I could care less who you are. I'm a Nevins. I don't think you understand the power of Nevinses. We don't know any Nevins but you. That's how famous I am. Do you know what I do for a living? I'm someone important. In the mind of John, no, you're not. God can make children of stones. You have nothing before God. Well, I gave $7,000 to the church last week. I have a right. No, you have nothing before God. Nothing. Nothing. It's only his mercy that you and I exist, let alone are able to come in here. And we think we can have the audacity to throw in his face our name, what we've done. It means nothing to him. He's the creator of everything. But I'm someone important. Yeah, in your own mind. You're a brood of vipers. You've taken religion and you fashioned it to suit your needs, to comfort you. But that's not what religion is about. Religion is a spiritual battle, a fight for one's soul. And God is in this battle to save you. Will you at least cooperate with him? This is the message of John. Hear it afresh. Take out what you think or the end of your story and really listen. Why would he go to such extremes? Why would he live such an austere life and belong to a group of prophets if all this is some another society to make us feel comfortable about ourselves? John is calling for repentance, a change of the way you think and act. And the two must go together because we know our actions will betray what we really believe. Regardless of what we say, our actions speak volumes. If I come over here to mom and say, I love you, and then I kick her, what is going to speak louder to her? The word, I love you, or the kick? What do you think? The kick? Exactly. So too in our lives. To say we love God, but not do as he has asked of us, the truth is the truth. And the fruit is what God is looking for. So the second week of Advent, let's ask God to give us the grace of repentance, of fear of the Lord, of humility before his awesome presence. And let's ask that he continue to give us strength day to day to live the vocation he's given to us. It's a very particular vocation. And John realizes that. What if John would have said no to God? It's a great thought. What would we be talking about this week? What if you say no to God? What work will go undone? You and I are talking about John today because John did what God asked. And I'd like to be talking about you next week because you did what God asked.